Good morning, podcasting morning chat. Today is Monday, February 26th, 2024. And today we're going to continue our ongoing series, Rethinking Podcast Norms. I'll explain in a bit, and I should tell you we had some tech difficulties today, or at least I did. And so you'll occasionally hear those come through. I am actually re-recording this intro after the show because we had some hiccups. Again, I had some. So if you don't mind, please share this episode with a fellow podcaster despite the hiccups and give us about 2 minutes and we'll get things rolling. Thanks for being here. Going to get things rolling. I'm a little frustrated. Thank you, technology. Alex, can you feel me?
Well, it's not that bad. It could be worse. Right, Simona? You could be working with the script.
Oh, my God. I've got tech issues every day of my life. If it wasn't a tech issue, it wouldn't be.
Yeah. It's a little more stressful when I'm on the road and trying to record this as a podcast. I'm not sure what's going on. I'll have to figure this out later, but it sounds like you guys can hear me right now. So I'm going to just go with it and let's pretend the music played and let's pretend I did our routine thing and kick things off.
The best part, Mark, about a podcast is that you can just take the intro from Fridays and plug it right onto here.
Yeah, that's kind of true. Yes. And I do have all the stuff I need to record it over, so I could always do that too. We'll see. But hey, here we are. And happy Monday to everybody. Today, we are going to continue our ongoing series of rethinking podcast norms. And, you know, last week we talked about websites and not only the role that they play in our audience's experience, but also whether or not they're really even essential to have with our podcasts. And most of you seemed pretty convinced that we've got to have a website. And then I had asked at some point toward the end for you to take off your podcaster hat and put on a listener or viewer hat. And I asked you how frequently you visit your favorite podcast websites. And surprisingly to some, maybe not to others, most of you said you didn't. That you didn't frequent the websites of the podcast that you actually listened to. And that was, I mean, it was fairly eye-opening to me. It makes me wonder if we can sometimes put a little too much stock into what the gurus or the experts tell us, rather than going with our gut or paying attention to our own listening and viewing habits. Particularly at the beginning, right? Because once we've started to build an audience, we can also tap into what they prefer. So that's part of the point behind this ongoing series of rethinking podcasting norms. It's to challenge us to find some of the answers from within ourselves, in addition to our audience. So we're going to do more rethinking today and start it off with an icebreaker question that's, I think, also somewhat in line with the, in line with this whole theme of rethinking the norms. So I will start with you, Nick. Do you have any rituals or specific, say, settings in which you prefer to listen to podcasts? So, for example, that could be during a long walk, taking the dogs for a walk or something, or maybe it's sitting down, having a cup of coffee. Tell us about a recent experience. What podcast? What was the ritual or setting, etc.? Good morning to you, Nick.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Well, first thing I do is I boot up my computer and I go to the podcast's website. And then, just kidding, I don't do that. But I'm going to argue you guys tooth and nail for websites. So be prepared. Now, my listening to the podcast, I will typically do that on my commute home from work. Obviously, when I'm on my way to work, I'm here in this room with you guys. But I have like an hour drive every day that I'm either listening to podcast episodes or audiobooks. And then the other time that I really enjoy just putting on a podcast and listening to is when I'm mowing the lawn. I don't know why. I wanted to be able to listen to something. And this past summer, I was like, I haven't listened to a lot of podcasts. So there's been a few shows that I've been going back to while I'm mowing. But that's usually the time when I'll do a quick search for maybe it's something that I'm trying to learn or figure out or something like that. And I'll search that topic and then find a show that matches that and then just kind of hit play and go do my thing.
Yeah, that makes sense. Are you yet taking advantage of, I know Spotify and I believe Apple are both now allowing hosts to recommend other shows? Have you used that feature as a consumer? Have you noticed that feature? Have you clicked through and listened to one of the host recommendations?
Actually, no. And that is because I haven't been listening on Spotify or Apple.
No, well.
It's called Snipped.
Mm-hmm.
S-N-I-P-D. I've been listening on that one just because I like how the platform is set up. And then there's actually, you can get like AI-generated detail about the show, and then you can actually, what I originally did it for was for my own podcast, is I wanted to clip out different episodes, and in that app you can actually clip out, like have AI clips pulled from the episode directly in the platform, and then you can share those clips. So that was the original reason why I went to that platform, but yeah, I haven't really listened to anything on Spotify or Apple in a long time.
Fair enough. And then, Nick, I had to ask you, since you led with the website comment, I don't feel like you were in the room at that point when I asked that question last week. So as a consumer of podcasts, do you regularly frequent the websites of your go-to podcasts?
So I was not in the room, and I saw people posting about the website stuff, and I was like, oh my God, did I miss this discussion? So I'm glad I didn't. But to your question, no, I do not go to the podcast like website specifically, like after I've already found the podcast. That said, I frequently am online searching for podcasts and I end up on those podcast websites. So I think I was a little bit more previously when I was listening to podcasts like a lot. I think I went to podcast websites a little bit more for the additional resources and things like that, more in like the entrepreneur type podcast. But as of late, it's been more of a discovery thing for me than it is a, like, I'm going to hang out on the website.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay. So it's kind of like the initial way you get introduced to a podcast is finding their website, kind of exploring it, and then deciding whether you're going to listen to it. That's fair? Well, There you go. Okay. Okay. A lot of suspense for the yes. Okay. All right. Let's go to Sid. Good morning to you, Sid. So the question is, do you have any rituals or specific setting in which you prefer to listen or view podcasts, whether that's taking a walk, having it with your morning coffee, whatever that is? Tell us about a recent experience that what podcast, what was the ritual, et cetera. Go for it. Good morning, Sid.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. My favorite place to listen to a podcast is sitting outside with my coffee and just hanging out nice, relaxed, listening to podcasts. That's my favorite place. I do listen in a lot of different places. If I'm piddling around the house, I will listen. If I'm driving, obviously, I will listen. And I am binge consuming a variety of different types of content relative to real estate investing because I'm very, very interested in this and I want to learn about it. And I found a couple of different shows that I really like. I'm actually listening to a couple of different books. And so I am on this quest to learn about something. And so I'm discovering new people and new shows because of that interest to learn about something.
Love it. Thank you, Sid. Appreciate that. Sid knew exactly where he was going with that. I love it. All right. Let's go to Simona. Good morning, Simona. And please share. I know you were at a convention this past weekend. So if you want to share anything about that, feel free. And then also please share any rituals or specific settings that you prefer to listen to podcasts. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much. I was at an event called PodCamp, which is a two-day conference in Toronto. It was super fun. I got to speak on the Saturday, and my topic was 7 ways to use video for your podcast. And it was a really great talk. The room was full. I think there's about 50 to 60 people. I tried to count at one point. The energy was so good, and I got to kick off my session was one of three because they had three different tracks, which I really liked. And I got to kick off the event. My talk was at 10 a.m. It was amazing. And I'm grateful that it was in the morning because people started to trickle off by, you know, 2-3 o'clock, that kind of thing. So yeah, I was really grateful for that. It was such a good like environment. I got to meet Sean in real life. Sean, who comes to our room, I got to meet him in real life because he's local. And we have quite a small podcast community up in Toronto, I would imagine, because honestly, this is the first time I've ever been to this event. I don't know a lot of creators in Toronto specifically. And I do a lot of my talks and, you know, my whole community is down in the States. So it was nice to be in my own city, if you will, and doing that. That was really fun. And yeah, overall, super, super fun. First talk of the year, and I'm really excited for more this year. So it's going to be awesome. My place to listen to podcasts, I would say when I'm walking. I like to go for really long walks when it's nice out, you know, like an hour or hour and a half, 2 hours. And that's when I listen to my podcasts. I'll be honest, I don't really listen to a lot of podcasts on a day-to-day basis. And I don't really have that one show that I like binge constantly. Yeah, so I would say when I'm walking.
And to be fair, you're listening probably to plenty of podcasts. It's just the ones that you produce.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, I feel you. All right, cool. So yeah, on those long walks, sometimes I feel like we're in this conversation that we're kind of talking about our dating profiles. All right, so I'm going to keep it moving. Go to Alex. Good morning, Alex. Yeah, please share any rituals or specific settings in which you prefer to listen to podcasts. Good morning, Alex.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. Of course, it's candlelight in the bath. No, I just listen in the car. That's pretty much it. I know my wife, she loves listening to a couple of different podcasts while she like cleans and does stuff. But in general, for me, it's just in the car or maybe walking. I just don't listen to a lot of podcasts because I feel like, I don't know. I should listen. I listen to a lot of books on audio. So, but when I do, it's usually in the car either way. So
That's fair. That's fair. It's interesting to me. It seems that the podcasters I come across, whether you're someone like Simona and I who are producing other podcasts, or someone like Alex who's an avid podcaster, it's funny that we tend to not listen or consume a lot of podcasts. And I just find that interesting.
Because I actually enjoy listening to podcasts, but it's just kind of funny, yeah. But Friday night was rocking, and Sid wouldn't let us shut the bar down. So we tried to keep it to an hour, but then evidently it's not to an hour anymore, thanks to Simona and Sid. So I have no idea how long the podcast evening chat's going to be anymore.
Yeah, I peeked at it. Couldn't make it because of the travels, and I peeked and I saw you guys did at least 90 minutes. So yeah, that's cool. Friday evening, the podcasting evening chat, Friday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, live only on Clubhouse. Let's go to Dominic. Dominic, good morning to you. Please share any rituals or specific settings in which you prefer to listen to podcasts.
Good morning.
And what's for lunch?
Good morning, everybody. Hope everybody's well again. We're going with pizza again today. Zoe wanted pizza. So right now I'm putting some turkey pepperoni and some mozzarella, and going to put a little seasoning on it and stuff like that. So that's what's going on right now. Routines for listening to podcast. I'll share two really quickly. Speaking of Zoe, probably the number one podcast in this household is a podcast called Charm Words. Charm Words is a podcast for kids that has like daily affirmations and stuff like that. And so we listen to that on the way to school every day. She really gets a kick out of it, and she will not let me pull out of the driveway until we start Charm Words. So Charm Words is created by a good friend of mine, Anthony Frazier over at ABF Creative. Walt knows who he is, mutual friend of ours and stuff like that. So does really cool work. And outside of that, my second one is I'm listening to podcasts when I judge in different award shows. Speaking of which, I just got the email from the Academy of Interactive and Visual Arts to start judging the Communicator Awards. So that is about to begin here pretty soon. So yeah, I'm either listening to Charm Words on the way to school. Oh, there's the oven as always. and then listening to podcasts when I'm judging different, awards and stuff like that. So
very cool. And I love that podcast that you're listening to with your daughter. That's awesome. Not that I've heard it, just I love that concept. Very cool. All right, Walt, coming to you. Please share a ritual or specific settings in which you prefer to listen to podcasts. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Gotta listen in the car, traveling like a crazy amount of hours, or right at the kitchen sink trying to get through a pile of dishes, like to listen to podcasts in high stress environments. Also, Dominic, you should check out a podcast called Stoop Kids Stories. Or I guess anyone who has kids, Stoop Kids Stories, independent podcast created by Melissa Victor, who's an actor, and she just perfect for Black History Month too, because she's a Black creator. But yeah, she's created this whole world, right, with all these characters, and it's a really cool way that she kind of delivers messages and keeps it entertaining. She just hit like 700,000 downloads, and she's like a one woman show, so it's incredible. Very good. I actually love her intro, it's kind of catchy. but yeah, recommend everyone look up Stoop Kid Stories. She's awesome. And listen, doing stuff. What was the other part of the question, Mark?
Well, I think you got it. It's just really the ritual or setting that you prefer to listen to podcasts.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, I was introduced to podcasts. I started doing it during long road trips. I was getting tired of listening to the same songs over and over. So I really love I think that's why I like long form content as well.
I feel that. So. Absolutely. Thank you. And just to point out, all of the moderators, I think the one exception you could make is Sid, that really all of us would require an audio podcast in order to do it in the setting, the preferred setting, right? Everybody was in their car, either commuting, Nick was mowing the lawn, Simona walking, Alex, Dominic, Walt, all in the car. And I'd say the same for me too. I think I prefer to listen to podcasts on long road trips, particularly not my client podcast, but just podcasts I would normally listen to. And I see that's raised a few hands. So let's go to Walt first, and then we'll go to Sid. Go ahead, Walt.
Yeah, I don't recommend, but I do have a YouTube app open while I'm in the car. I don't have to look at it, but something about having it there. I can't necessarily say why, but I mean, some shows I like to just be able to glance over real quick just to see what's going on. So yeah, I am a fan of video podcasts.
Yeah, and we've learned that that's how a lot of people are, even though if they're mostly or all listening, they still use an app like YouTube to actually consume it, which I find fascinating. Sid, go ahead.
Yeah, so I really do enjoy sitting outside of my patio with the dogs and my coffee listening to podcasts, but this will come as no surprise to anybody that knows me. I struggle to sit still. So after about 20 minutes of sitting, I got to get up and walk or go do something. And so my phone is always in my back pocket when I'm up and about. So I do not watch on YouTube. I've never watched a podcast on YouTube. I only listen on audio players and predominantly listen on Apple because it's easy and it's on my phone. And that's where my library is stored basically. So, but I do meander a bit while I'm listening.
Yep. That's fair. And this is, again, this goes back to something I was saying at the top of the show here is when we're talking about rethinking podcast norms, we often hear a lot of the experts out there demanding that we do video podcasts. And yes, as I've said to you before, I agree that you should have a camera, and should is an awful word to use. You could have a camera on you when you're recording, even if you want to be an audio-based or an audio, primarily audio podcast, I still would encourage you to have that camera, as we've talked about, for other things like promoting your content. It's going to translate better in most cases to have a video clip on your social media rather than an audiogram. So let's see. Did anyone else want to? We have some other people on stage. Did anyone else want to either answer the icebreaker or say something about what we're discussing right now? Yeah, Jeff, go for it. Good morning.
Good morning, team. The short answer is it depends on what kind of podcast I'm listening to. You know, if I'm listening to Nora Jones or Chris Chiplet's, you know, podcast, I'm listening to it because they've got guests and I'm being entertained. But, you know, as I get ready for this big event this next week, I'm listening to a lot of podcasts and also just a lot of interviews that have been done on Facebook or YouTube or whatever, specifically for information that might have dropped out about my guest in the past interview. Because they're not necessarily things I can look up. An example might be, I've got a guest that's coming up that has not included information in their bio. I have not received certain information from their publicist. But because they responded to a question they've only been asked one time, I accidentally found out that the first bass player that I ever played with in Nashville co-wrote their first release because it just happened to be only in that one interview. And when I'm listening to those kind of podcasts, specifically for homework and research, I'm either listening at my desk so I can multitask and look up the song they just mentioned, the hometown they just mentioned, something, because I'm researching for my own interviews. Or I might be just listening, laying in bed, listening to the interview so I can't get distracted by something else on the desk and not listen fully. So that would be how I listen, either with no distractions or intentionally in front of my computer so I can take notes and do that. Now, with that, I would go back and reference, Mark, what you were talking about with frequenting the websites, what we were talking about the other day. In my preparation for this weekend, I have found three different artists that reinforce the same value to the industry. Meaning this, I found an artist that was discovered because they didn't really think anybody was in the room, and they found out that Toby Keith was in the back of the room and he heard them and signed them to his record deal. A second artist that did the same thing with a different artist was discovered because they thought nobody was there and they got heard. Somebody else sent out 250 invitations to a showcase. Only one person came as a result of those invitations, but they signed them to their record deal. And I say that to compare it to the importance of having a website. I think I went to Ironic Media one time when we first met, and you and I wound up having a discussion about something that I was looking for on your website that I couldn't find. And now it's on that website. So, you know, unless you update your websites with blogs, with photos and stuff, you're not asking people to frequent them, but you want the website to be there, even if it's the only time that they go to sign that record deal, buy that merch, find that email so they can send you that request. That's why the website is there. So even when you think the room is empty, you can find out that the guy's there that's going to sign your record deal. And that's the only time it happened, but it changed everything. Good morning.
I think maybe Mark is on mute.
Or just stunned.
So stunned. He was shocked by the conversation. Well, anyone else want to add in their favorite? Their way they listen to their podcast? To a podcast? Let me rephrase that.
Hey there, how are you? As you all know, I very rarely do video. And here's the reason why. Number one, overvaluing the look of your face and the way most videos are done are horrible. Let's just be blunt about it. They're horrible because people think they need to put out video. There's a few that I do watch. However, the vast majority of podcasts I listen to are when I'm driving my car where I can't watch video, where I'm at work, where my boss does not let me watch a video, but he doesn't mind me listening to audio, when I'm other forms of transportation where I need to keep a presence on there. So it's just three times more consumability when it comes to audio only. And number two, it's designed for radio. Radio is not a visual platform. So it just creates a whole new layer of work. And then my guests, I call them in a radio studio using a phone and go through a board. There is no video for them. So it creates more work, and that extra work creates almost zero traction as far as traffic going to my show. And same for audiograms. They've been horrible. And I'll close on this. People say, and they say, well, you can create all the short content, which is great for your social media. And I'm going to add this caveat. Short garbage is still garbage. If you're going to do it, do the best you can. That means audio, video, your lighting, your editing, but most importantly, your content. Make sure that the most resonating feature. Thanks. I'm done with my rant.
All right. Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Okay. And thank you, John. And thank you, Simona, for picking it up when my tech difficulties continue. Alex, I see you had something.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I mean, I know we're bashing video and, you know, whatever, but I will say it depends on what your podcast does. All right. Like last night I did a live. We do a lot of live reaction stuff of shows. And, you know, my particular podcast doesn't get huge numbers, but I know a lot of our competitors get astronomical numbers. And
you know, whether it's they're listening to it in the background or whatever else. And we're not turning those in a lot of cases, you know, for the 20, 30 minute lives, we may not be turning those into podcasts, you know, putting them on the podcast platform. So, I mean, I don't know. I know the way I listen to it, but I think, you know, when I do a lot of my research, where do we go? We go to YouTube, we go to that. Do you want to call it a podcast or do you want to call it? I mean, that's a whole nother issue. But I just think that there is good content, still good content, like John said, but at the same time, you know, there is a place for it. That's all. It's just, I put too much work into video that I'm going to, you know, and maybe I'm the pot calling the kettle black, but I put too much time in it.
I definitely think there is place for video, and this is not to bash video. I think, again, it goes back to what works best for us as hosts and what works best for our audiences. Simona, I see you want to add something. I also saw Jackie and Soda had their hands up. I'm going to go to you first. Oh, lots of people want to talk. I'm going to go to you, Simona, first. I'm going to go to Jackie and then Soda and then Walt. Go ahead, Simona.
Thanks, Mark. One thing that I wanted to add. So when I was doing my talk on Saturday, we were talking about the differences between video and audio and how they're typically, you know, different audiences who are listening to different platforms. And someone actually corrected me after my talk. And they had said that there was a study done. I believe it was a Canadian company that did it. And I honestly don't remember off the top of my head who it was. Also, hashtag Canada. No, I'm just kidding. that said, they had done a study. And the study said that the listenership and the listenership of video versus audio actually isn't that different, which I thought was interesting. That if you are, you know, one person, you may watch and also listen to a video podcast and an audio podcast, like the same show. And I thought that was interesting because, like, personally, I would never do that. And I don't know a lot of people that would, but that's not here nor there. I think, you know, to John's point, the content has to be good if you're going to do anything. And also, I think that when it comes to video, I know, like myself personally, I'm way more forgiving if the set isn't perfect, if the camera isn't like the highest resolution. Like, I'm okay with that if you can keep me engaged in the video. So I think that's the piece that matters. Like, what does the editing look like? What's the structure of the video? And I'm less fussed about how good it looks and more so about how is it keeping me engaged and entertained. That's all.
Thank you, Simona. Jackie, did you have something you wanted to add?
Yeah, it was a couple things. the website thing. I know that's going back, but I'll circle back around to video. So I actually only, when I'm, you know, on social media, I only post my website link. So anybody that clicks on my Instagram stuff, they go to my pod page first and then they get to pick where they listen to it. But I think that's just the initial thing. Normally, then they have a platform and they'll get notified, right? Because they subscribe. So, and I do plan on having merch and I do a blog. So I do actually get a good amount of traction on my website because of the blog, I believe, that's leading up to it. And then, oh my God, it left me. Oh, watching. Okay. So I like to watch people. I mean, I don't know if that's a thing. Like, and it's not, so I follow a lot of podcasters on TikTok. So they'll post like little clips and I feel like I get to preview it. And then if I want to listen, I can listen. And so that's cool for me. I very rarely listen to podcasts because I'm a stay-at-home mom and my kids are screaming. And I like to listen when I like to actually be there and understand what's happening, not be one foot in, one foot out. I know that sounds weird, but that's how I am with content in general normally. Like even watching TikToks, that's my me time in bed. My husband has the kids. Also, car rides are great, especially whenever you're traveling from Georgia to Pennsylvania. The only thing that's changed for me and my husband is we used to listen to, we loved My Favorite Murder. They're hilarious and it's kind of awful how hilarious they are because they are talking about murder, but it's still like really good content. We switched from that to the one that you guys were talking about the other day. I can't remember the name of it. Jason Bateman's with
Smartless.
Yes, Smartless. Because now we have kids in the car and we can't listen to murder the whole time. So, but yes, that's like one of the ones. And it, yeah, it just keeps me entertained. And when you're on a road trip, it goes so much quicker listening to podcasts than it does music, right? I just feel like I want to find even the episodes that are like an hour long on road trips, because then you're listening and you kind of get taken away from the 15-hour drive that you're about to embark on with two kids. So it's like, yeah, that's my favorite place. But I also, when I have time, it's kind of random and everywhere.
Thank you, Jackie. I appreciate all the insights. And I think that that's the point of this room, is to get us thinking about our preferences. What do we prefer? Because I think sometimes it's when we're doing the things we don't prefer, it feels a bit like the whole round peg, square hole, or vice versa, right? Why not go with what feels best to us as hosts so that we can really focus on the content? Soda, you wanted to add something. Go ahead, Soda. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I agree a lot with what Alex said. And I think, so for me personally, I mostly do audio only podcasts, because I listen to them during sleepy snuggle time at night. And so I can't really watch it. But it's interesting because, so my audience seems to be writers and artists. And when I say I have a podcast in the art community, there's a very negative connotation to podcasters, a very negative stereotype. So I tend to say YouTuber and send them over to my YouTube. And my YouTube does, you know, I haven't updated my YouTube. I need to get better. But those, when I do upload to YouTube, it does way, way better than my audio only one. But if with my writing community, they're fine with either way. So I think knowing your audience and knowing which they would prefer is also an important point.
Agreed. Thank you, Soda. Billy, good morning. Go ahead. What did you want to add?
What's up? Good morning. I come to defend video, baby. No, I'm just kidding. But one thing I did want to share in my experience of doing a fishing podcast and really starting out in the live stream video world, it did for us, we saw a huge discoverability in the beginning days on YouTube. And then we saw this migration over to podcasting. So we used our YouTube channel and then we push people to listen to the podcast because we're like, oh, this is available on podcasts if you know you're busy or whatever, you don't want to look at our ugly faces or whatever it was. And we saw a really quick growth that way. And one thing that I would, you know, keep in mind is sometimes it's not all workload. Like I think when people look at video, they look at this big uphill battle and they're like, man, this is a lot of work. I got to have all this camera gear and blah, 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 blah. There's tools out there, just like AI is going to make you a better writer or make you, you know, more creative or whatever, help your creativity. There's tools out there. They're a little bit of an investment, but you can literally produce content just the same, but in all you're adding to your workflow is a couple push of a button. And so I've been creating video like this for years, like 3 to 4 years now, all live to drive. There was no editing in my podcast. There was no extra work whatsoever. It was just building the contents before and the assets before. But also when you go to pitch a sponsorship deal for all you people who like making money, that screen time is real estate that can be sold and it can be a part of your ecosystem. So just keep that in mind. It opens up a whole nother opportunity to make some money. Regardless if you like it or not, just figure out how to push buttons and not edit is my whole point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. And you're sounding really crisp and clear this morning. You must be on your mic.
Yeah, today. Finally, I used my $30 cable to hook into my Rodecaster duo. but I have a cold. So, hey, this is the second time in a month I'm sick. So I'm excited about that.
Well, feel better. And it sounds great. Dominic, you wanted to add something. Go ahead.
I think Walt may have been first, I believe.
Walt, did you want to jump in?
Yes, I'll be kind of quick. So I think... Well, three things. One, I think Crate Digger, who's Craig's one of my favorite new people I've been meeting, so he's hilarious. But he posted something about sounds profitable, and I would highly recommend everyone check out that report when it comes to video content. But I think there's like two things that are important to keep in mind when you're considering how to put out content and stuff, and it's discoverability and accessibility, because YouTube is definitely very, very powerful for that. And then also accessibility. I think people also like usually think about it from like a ability perspective, but really it's just like, how can someone reach something? And the point when I realized that, okay, I definitely have to be on YouTube is when my grandma started listening to my podcast. I had told her about Apple Podcasts and a few other players, and she just wasn't using them. Then one day she mentioned something about one of the people I had on, and I realized that she was watching on YouTube, and I had not taught her how to do that. I didn't even know that she knew what YouTube was, but she literally found it on YouTube. I wasn't telling my guests or anybody about that, and it just showed that all the audio players that are popular and super easy to use just weren't really accessible for her, but she somehow figured out YouTube and was just finding and watching via that platform. So I think, and also what Billy mentioned as far as like tools that make it easy to be on YouTube without needing a bunch of special effects and all that, there's one called Headliner, which has a very good free plan where I'm pretty sure you could get 4 episodes up a month without having to do any editing, without having to do any upload either. You can use an RSS feed and just to Headliner and publish out to YouTube directly from it as well. So, and then also, I think a few of y'all mentioned this already, but we really don't have to be like Oscar, Emmy, whatever winning video content. You just have to create just really good content, and people who like it will like it. People who don't will not. So, you know, video doesn't have to be this crazy, scary thing. And it can be accessible too.
Yeah, fair points. Thank you, Walt. I appreciate that breakdown. And Dominic, you ready to share? And then we're going to go to Stacy.
I am. So I've shared in this room a few times, and I'll just say it again. You know, I remember Walt leading a discussion or having a webinar, I think about a year and a half ago. And he was showing me how, as a person who only does primarily audio only podcasts, how you can, you know, have not necessarily turn it completely into video, but to have video elements of your show on Instagram. All this, you know, month for Black History Month, I've been using the Ken Burns style of moving pictures with, you know, audio from Black is America. And it's been really engaging for a lot of people. But I think also, I think it's cool if you have primarily an audio only podcast, that if you have ever so often you recording and stuff like that on video, people really like that, because it's almost like it's, I don't want to say supply and demand, but the fact that you don't often do video and then you give them like a nice little reel of like you 60 seconds and you're talking or whatever. And like people are like, oh, it's the voice of the guy with the thing, right? And it gets super excited, right? I remember doing a lot of my work for the Meadows, and that's been happening with a lot of people who've gone through treatment and the alumni. And they're like, oh, you're the voice. And so I think there's something to be said of not necessarily maybe having going all the way with video, but just having a video element to the show. And I'll say this and land my plane here. So when OpenAI, you know, releases Sora or whatever, as soon as I saw it, my mind was blown, because I'm like, oh my God, as somebody who does an audio podcast only, the historical applications I can use this. And now, you know, to use Black is America in that regard, is going to be mind blowing to kind of recreate these moments, recreate these scenes almost, if you will. And that's going to be a video element, and I can still keep doing my audio only thing. But like, it's just one of those things where the tools are becoming more and more accessible for us to add video to our audio only podcast, even if we don't have a full video production. So I just want to make sure
for those in the audience and those listening to the replay on the podcast that even though you may do primarily audio only or whatever, I think adding video elements every now and then can be very engaging. And I think your audience is going to like that.
Thank you, Dominic. Appreciate that. It's funny. I'm going to just admit to everyone here, video versus audio wasn't even my plan for the discussion today. And I don't even know how we got here. And it's an important conversation, so I'm going with it. And it is, we are kind of along that theme of rethinking podcast norms. So I appreciate the conversation, and I'm going to keep it going with Stacy. Stacy, good morning. What did you want to add?
Good morning. So I want everybody to think about this as another point of view as the customer experience leader in the room. When you go to a website or contact a company, some people like to call an 800 number. Some people never want to call an 800 number and they want to just go to a website and chat and never have to pick up the phone. So it's the same principle. The more you give people the options to engage with you, the better that you can deliver to them. So if you just limit, if a company just gives you an 800 number and no other way to contact them, it's limiting and it does impact. So I just want you to kind of shift your mindset in that way when it comes to video or audio. It's about your customer. It's about your listener. It's not really about you. And I will say I do both. My audio does better because I'm not doing SEO right on YouTube. But the work level is so must not hinder because my audio, I am sort of perfectionist in the sound quality, but my video, it's just, you know, I put it up there and slap on a intro and outro. And I think my producer actually edits the video and then uses the sound for my audio. So it's really not like duplication too much. Anyway, just be where your customer is, customer, listener, however you want to define it. That's my two cents.
Thank you, Stacey. I'm coming to you in a second, Alex. Yeah. So I am so with you on everything you said. And I'm struggling lately with the statement about it not being about you, but it's about your audience. And the reason why I say I'm struggling with that is because, I believe we want to make content that resonates with our audience, that's valuable to our audience. And we start the podcast initially because of an interest that we have or a thing that we're passionate about that we want to share. And as creators, I do think there is a level of importance to creating stuff that resonates with you as the creator. Right, artists, generally speaking, when they're say they're painters, right, they're making paintings that are coming from their minds, things of their interest. And then they're hoping it's going to resonate with their audience, right? Maybe they want to sell it or what have you. But my point is that they're creating from a place within and expressing themselves through their creation. And podcasting is a bit of an art form too. And so I just want to point out that I think it's important there's a balance of both catering to your audience and catering to you and your passion. Alex, go ahead. Good morning again. Sorry about that.
No problem. No, I think it's what you're trying to do with your podcast. Right now, the reason why Chris and Amanda aren't here is because they have their show. It's a live show. It used to be a podcast. I mean, it still is a podcast, but now it's more of a live YouTube show. And I think, you know, it's what you're trying to get out of your show. I mean, I go back to this, but I think it's really important when it comes to radio and podcasting. You know, Don Imus, he's very controversial. He was on MSNBC in the morning for years. And I know tons of people, including myself, used to love to watch them on TV, which is the dumbest thing in the world because all they're doing is, you know, doing what we're doing right now, but you can see them. And I think there's something to be said for the behind the scenes view, because I think people like that. And I think that's why content like that is so sought after. Am I saying that radio is going to die? Of course not. Is the audio only going to die? No. But to Stacy's point, you know, we're of a certain age. We're not thinking about people like my daughter and Dominic's daughter and a whole bunch of other that next generation that they're YouTube kids. And, you know, it may not be the scales may not ever be one way or the other, like Simona said. But I really think that when it comes to, you know, eating up content, we may do it a certain way, but we have to think of that listener. And, you know, Headliner's a great way, and there's a whole bunch of other ones.
Thank you, Alex. All right, a couple of things I want to do. I want to go first to Simona. Simona, I'm coming to you because I'd like to quickly share with everybody an announcement regarding our live event, and I'd like, if you're open to it, for you to share a little bit about that announcement. And then I want to go to Stacy to talk to her about another event coming up in, I guess, in August. That's the one we're talking about, Podcast Movement. Stacy had an idea that I think would be smart for all of us to consider. So first, Simona, let's go to you. Please tell us a little bit about the Empowered Podcasting event announcement.
Oh, thanks, Mark. I wasn't expecting that. That's exciting. So as you know, we've all been talking about this Empowered Podcasting event that's happening in June and giving you the dates and all the excitement. So we're happy to confirm that it's going to be, well, I'm going to say like confirm 99.9% sure it's going to be in North Carolina. And it's me and Charlotte. So that's very exciting. And today we are taking the first step of our event and we've opened up officially the call for speakers. So if you want to speak at our event, the link is now live and available. And we're really excited to see all of the submissions. Dominic is sort of leading the speaker side of it and the selection process, the agenda, and like all of that kind of stuff. So anyways, if you wanted to add anything, Dominic, I'm not 100% sure, but I'll let you take over the mic. But yeah, call for speakers is open.
I do not take bribes. No, seriously. No, really excited about the live event here coming this summer. And we're just really looking for really engaging topics. And one of the things that we discussed is very important for me in this event is for our speakers to make sure we're leaving tangible advice, leaving something tangible for the independent podcaster to chew on and that they can use immediately after that talk is given. So as you think about your speaking sessions, really think about something that you can leave for the audience, whether it be a handout, QR code, something like that. So that's going to be really important as we go through this process.
I have one more thing to add to that as well, Dominic. As you were speaking, I was thinking to myself, well, maybe someone's listening and they're like, oh, I haven't really, like, I don't know if my talk would be good enough or I don't know if what I have to say is important. And we think it is. And so we want to make sure that even if you don't feel like maybe, you know, your talk, you know, you don't feel like it's going to get chosen, still submit it anyways. We want to hear you and we want to see what you have to say. You might surprise yourself and you never know. You never know what can happen. So take that leap, take that bet on yourself. I'm going to use that word this morning. And yeah, we're really excited to see what comes in. So it's open today, what's the date today? 26th. And the submissions close on March 22nd. It's a Friday. And all speakers will be announced by April 1st. As speakers, you get to come to our event for free, and you get to bring a guest for a bit of a discount as well. Those details are still being finalized, but there are perks to speaking as well. So that's it. Over to you, Stacy, or Mark, if you want to say anything.
Yeah, I do. Actually, do we have the link to share this morning in the room?
Give me 1 second. I'll pin it.
Okay, cool. So we will provide that link for everybody if you want to speak. And yeah, if you have questions, if you're debating on, oh, I don't know if this is something worth talking about, hit one of us up and ask. And we'll work through it with you. And Stacy, speaking of events, tell us a little bit about what you were thinking as far as podcast movement is concerned.
Yeah, so two things. One, there is a team discount available. So if we had 3 to 5 passes at one time, we get 10% off our entire order. If we had more than that, 6 to something, we would get 20% off. So as a community, it made me think about, do we want to leverage the community where we all benefit for a 20% discount? I know my bank account would benefit. So it's just the idea, but there's no pod movement in DC. There's no there's no cancellations. There's so you're in it to be there or win it. So that's why I say there's really, if you're going to go, then it makes sense that we do this as a collective if there's interest. So I know there's 3 or maybe 4. I know Mark, me, I think Carrie's in. And so we just need a few more and then we've got 20%. And then obviously there's bigger discounts, but I'm not, you know, reaching for the stars here.
So Stacy, what do you think about if we put something, an official post in the Empowered Podcasting Facebook group, just to get an interest, see who wants to be a part of that, and then we can reach out to the individuals and see if we can coordinate this from there?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. It's a value to our community here, because we couldn't do it alone. So the power of community. Again, the only tricky part is that I'm guessing one person has to pay on behalf of the community. So if that's the case, then we just have to make sure like everybody Venmos somebody and then that person will buy the tickets. And again, because you can't get your money back, it's non-refundable. It's not like, you know, oh, I changed my mind. Damn, because I was in the community, I affect everybody. It doesn't work like that. So yes.
Okay. So we will do that for sure. Alex, did you have something?
I'm sorry, I'm in the car, so I can't look it up. When is Podcast Movement and where is it?
It's in Washington, D.C., and it is the 3rd week of August, I believe. And I'm looking up those dates right now, but I believe it is.
It's the week of the 16th, right?
I think it's actually the following week, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Yes. August 19th to the 22nd.
Yeah. It's right when we celebrate our anniversary. Yeah. Nothing says summer like going with your wife.
I'll just say I'm hosting my own event during my anniversary weekend. Yes.
You're a brave man.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And she's so excited for me that we are putting this thing on that I think we will be celebrating just the same. She's so happy for us that we're doing this. So I'm not worried about her being a little angry because she's not. It'll be a cool way to celebrate our 6th anniversary. So listen, we didn't even get to the topics, the specific ones that I wanted to break down as far as rethinking podcast norms. So the series will continue. And we will have more conversations around more areas of podcasting that are traditionally done that we may want to at least explore doing them a little differently and seeing if that's worth our while. Tomorrow, we may have a guest. I'm speaking with a guest right now who said they're available for tomorrow. I just want to make sure there's enough time. But Wednesday, we definitely have a guest. We're going to have Megan Shields joining us, who is actually someone that will be on Simona's podcast in March. And this woman, Megan, she is a Facebook and Instagram ads expert, and specifically for podcasters. So that's an area I know we haven't dug a lot into, other than, well, John talks a lot about Facebook, but not necessarily specifically about ads and how to do it affordably. So I'm really looking forward to having her here to break that down with us on Wednesday. Mystery guest, I'll let you know if that mystery guest is coming Tuesday or the following week. Just got to figure out the logistics. And yeah, so please join us every day, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern. We would love to have you be a part of these conversations. You too can interview these guests by just joining us up here on stage and asking your questions. So looking forward to this week of lots of podcast content for you. Until tomorrow, make it a great day, everybody. Take care.